Amen. Great hymn of assurance. Woody Allen said, "My one regret in life is that I'm not someone else." Today we're looking at the fifth of our five principles, the practical aspect of discipleship, the doing stuff element, according to our gifts, according to our graces. And in so doing, we should not wish that we are someone else. God has made each of us just as we are. We need to recognize that we, each of us, have exactly the same ability to honor Jesus in everything that we do. It's about responsibility, accountability, and productivity. It's about being faithful with what has been given to us. And the parable of the talents says really that whatever gifts we have, we should use them wisely. A talent comes from the ancient Greek word talenton, really means scale or measure, and or balance, really, scale or balance. And it was one of several units of weight used mainly in commercial transactions. A talent was approximately 80 pounds in weight, or about 36 kilos, so it was no small amount. If you think a bag of sand, if you go down to B&Q and buy a bag of sand, it's usually about 20 kilos, so it's almost a couple of those, so that's quite a lot of precious metal of whatever type it is. And when it was used as a measure of money, it depended on what was actually being measured. Homer knew about talents. He describes how Achilles gave half a talent of gold to Antilochus as a prize. So it's a recognized way of measurement. The parable that Jesus tells uses the idea of money set to work in order to bring a profit. The real point being that our own practical behavior should be set to work to profit the kingdom through benefiting the world around us. Five brief points. The first one. The parable teaches us that achievement is the product of our work. Achievement is the product of our work. In Genesis, we see that God placed Adam in the garden to work and take care of it. We were made to work. Now, let's be clear what we mean. We don't mean go to work in the way that our culture thinks of as work. Do you work? No, I don't work. Do you work? Only when I have to. Doesn't mean that at all. It means to put ourselves to work. In other words, to be productive in the works that we do. Many shapes, many flavors. From whatever it is we do with our daily tasks, maybe our day job. It may be our prayer life. It may be our encouraging smile that we help someone else with. That is the work. In other words, that we would be productive in some way. And I would want to say that every person on the face of the planet, of every age, young or old, or of every ability or lack of, has exactly the same means and the same ability to work in this way. There are Christians around who see their salvation simply as a bus ticket to heaven. And there are one or two, not many perhaps, but there are one or two who think that it doesn't really matter what they do while they're here. They've received Jesus as Savior and Lord, so now the rest doesn't really matter. I'll just wait for the bus to arrive. But as Christians, we really have a mission that our Lord expects us to accomplish here and now. It's not just about waiting for eternity. There is work to do. That work is set within a very sad world, a fallen world, and a world that we know that we are ultimately rescued from by the victory that Jesus won for us on the cross. But while we're here, there's a task. And in that task, for every single one of us, there is a requirement that we make a profit. The parable of the talents teaches us that, or rather teaches us what we are supposed to do while we await the return of our King. And the Bible is full of conduct, code of conduct for how we live, how we go about that, how we treat each other. You know, Jesus taught so much, didn't he, about how we are to live, and that is followed on in the early church and through the ministry of the apostles. But we are to work using our gifts or our talents to glorify God, to serve the common good and further God's kingdom. So biblical success in this is about working diligently here, now, in Woking, in our generation, or wherever we live, and using the talents that God has given us to produce the return that is expected by our Master. Not to sit on them or bury them, but to use them to the good that we might earn profit for him. Second thing, the parable of the talents teaches that God always gives us everything that we need in order to do what he has called us to do. God always gives us everything we need in order to do what he has called us to do. You know, sometimes there's a tendency when we read that parable to feel sorry for the servant who only received the one talent. We do think that, don't we? We think, oh, it's a bit unfair, isn't it? But in reality, he actually received as much as the others, in that its worth was measured in the effort that was made to multiply it. And even though he buried it in the garden and didn't make anything of it, actually he had the same opportunities as the servant with the three talents. Is it two or three?
Five.
And the five. And so, you know, all three of them were in the same position. But the point was this, that each of those three servants were given enough to fulfill the master's expectations of their lives. I mean, you could say, in saying that they all had the same, if I took a jam jar, an empty jam jar, and filled it with water to the full, and then if I took a 5-gallon container and filled it with water to the full, I could say to you, well, they're both full. They're both equally full. They have reached their capacity. And God gives us talents according to our capacity. R.T. Kendall says, God never promotes us to the level of our incompetence. God never promotes us to the level of our incompetence. And each of the servants got according to their ability. And what God gives, he also imparts on us the grace to bring to fruition. Each of us must thus know the limit of our gifts or our anointing bestowed by God. Because of our different stations in life, our varying strengths and weaknesses, and different resources and abilities, God gave some more talents, some people more talents, and others less. This is not about playing favorites or being openly discriminating. It is just the plain and raw reality of life. For God will not give us more than we can handle or tempt us more than we can take. R.T. Kendall. Just as the master expected his servants to do more than passively persevere what had been entrusted to them, to passively preserve what had been entrusted to them, So God expects each of us to generate a return by using our talents, our gifts, towards a productive end, not burying it in the garden, hiding it under the bed, keeping it quiet. The servants were given enough, they were given enough to produce more. So it's the same with the gifts that God has given you and I. Paul writes in Ephesians 2:10, he says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." The third thing, the parable of the talents teaches that we are not all created the same. We are not all created the same. We are loved the same, but we are not all created the same. We have different skills, different trades, different interests. I don't need to labor it here with obvious examples. Some of us are better at certain things than others. But in one crucial area, we are exactly the same. We all have the ability to do our best to profit the kingdom with that with which we have been entrusted. We all have the ability to do our best to profit the kingdom with that with which we have been entrusted. Certainly, it might take a little while to work out our calling. What is it God wants me to do? We often say. John Maxwell says that someone once said there are two great days in life, the day you were born and the day you discovered why. But even if we haven't quite discovered the why yet, in the meantime, we still have the ability to do what we can do with what we know we have. That makes sense? However little it is. In the second half of verse 15, the master gives to each of the servants the bag of gold or the talent, each according to his ability. The master understood that the one talent servant was not capable of producing as much profit as the five talent servant. And you know, so often we want to protest that that is unfair. But we know it's true, don't we, from our own experience. Some have a previous church leader that I used to work with, he was always using the phrase, such and such has got a very big plate. Or such and such hasn't got a very big plate. Meaning they can't have too much on their plate at once because they can't deal with it, so we won't give them too much to do. But what they do really well, but we can only give them a little plate. This person over here has a huge plate and just seems to get through all this stuff. Do you understand? It's true. Diversity is woven into the fabric of creation. And diversity is woven into this room. R.T. Kendall again. We are entrusted with a responsibility according to our level of skill. Not everyone is given the same responsibility. And this accounts for the different talents given to the three servants. Each servant is therefore accountable for what was given to him. For Jesus had already said in Luke 12, from everyone who has been given, much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. So be very careful, folks, before you start wishing for more talents. But even though we're not created equal in regard to the talents that we're given, there is supreme equality in this parable. And it comes from the fact that it takes just as much work for the two-talent servant to produce two more talents than it does for the five-talent servant to produce five more talents. Seems to me, folks, that the two-talent servant just has a slightly smaller plate than the five-talent servant, but both their plates are full. This is why the reward given by the master is the same. This is why the reward given by the master is the same. The master measures success by degrees of effort, as should we, in all the practical aspects of our servanthood. The fourth thing. The parable of the talents teaches that we work for the master, not for our own selfish purposes. We work for the master, not for our own selfish purposes. We should maximize the use of our talents to honor God. We know that we work in a fallen world. Because of the curse of sin, our work will be difficult. We all of us know that it can sometimes be tough. But we should feel satisfaction and joy from doing our best with what God has given us in the place where his providence puts us and leads us, so that we might seek to honor him in all things. There's a story of from America about a janitor at a local hospital. The man took it upon himself to learn the needs of and the habits of the patients. He cleaned their rooms and he watched how they behaved. He learned the visiting hours of one woman's family and would turn off his vacuum cleaner to allow them to have a quiet conversation. He also learned when a man recovering from major surgery took his walks down the corridor, and he made sure the floor was dry and safe at exactly those times. This man took huge pride in his work. He saw it as an opportunity to help people, to contribute to their healing. He understood why they were there, and he found ways to team up with doctors and nurses and patients. In doing so, he made their wins his wins. Imagine how proud he was to see the injured man walk again. The janitor in the story is an extraordinary human being who deserves all the credit for doing what he has done. His manager did not tell him to look after the patients. He just lived out his awareness and his compassion with his mop and bucket. He drew profit from his talent. Fifth and final. The parable of the talent shows that we will be held accountable. We will be held accountable. The parable of the talents is about how we use our work to fulfill our earthly callings. It's about whole life stewardship. And as I said earlier, we can't compartmentalize our spirituality and our practical life. Our practical gifts, our practical doings are spiritual when we understand they are our calling from God. The money that is given to the servants is not their own. The money they earn with the capital is not theirs to keep. The servants are only stewards of the master's investment, and it is the quality of their stewardship that the master seeks to measure. It is the quality of their stewardship that the master seeks to measure. Jesus will come back, friends. Yes, he will. And when he does, we will all be accountable for what we have done with the gifts, the talents that he has given us. Yes, he is the God of love and kindness and faithfulness and forgiveness and patience. He's also the God of justice, a preaching topic that we're not so keen on, a very unwise omission. The unfaithful steward in this parable didn't so much waste the master's money. He wasted an opportunity. He didn't so much waste the master's money, he wasted an opportunity. And as a result, he was judged as wicked and lazy, and he was thrown out where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Don't you just love that line? Friends, we are responsible for what we do for God with what we have been given, and we must look for opportunity. For everything, or rather everyone, will be held responsible. And no one who has received the breath of life from God, none of us who live in this world can say that we don't have a talent. We all have something with which to trade and make a profit. Most of us have hands and feet, and if not that, we have something else, and one day we will be asked, what did you gain for me with them? You might not have millions in the bank, few do, or a skill that makes you famous, but you've got a tongue in your mouth. What did you do with it for my sake? Jesus will ask on his return. And what we hear from the Master on that day is really up to us today. And as we live in the now, as I close, I just want to say this. I just want to say, don't look around and calculate what talents others have that you haven't got. But let's look at ourselves. I challenge you to look at yourself and determine more precisely what lies in you. Your good work may simply be an encouraging word for someone. A man, when that is done in the grace and the power of God, is it powerful? It has the capacity to change lives. Let us look in ourselves and see what we have. What we can gain for Christ with that we have been given. And multiply it in order that God's kingdom might be glorified in our generation. The practical aspect of living our discipleship, and it impacts all the others on our circle. Everything is impacted by everything else in our five principles. Amen.